Johnny Mack with your daily comedy news. Did you see Rudy Giuliani gave a speech on 9/11? Seth Meyers said, I'm not saying Rudy was drunk, but that's usually when guys from Brooklyn start to imitate the Queen of England. Trevor Noah said, you know, your speech went off the rails when people watching it are like, I wish this guy would talk more about 9/11. What is he doing? Jimmy Kimmel took a shot back at Donald Trump. Now, last week, Donald Trump appeared on Gutfeld! And Trump used the opportunity to throw some shade at Greg Gutfeld's late night competition. Former President Trump singled out the two Jimmys. He said both Jimmys had turned on him, especially Kimmel. President Trump claimed he was on Kimmel's show many times before he announced his campaign for president in 2015, and that Kimmel would go as far to kiss his butt by greeting him on the street in front of the studio and opening the car door for him once. Jimmy Kimmel took issue with the story, saying it never happened. According to Kimmel, he has never greeted a guest outside, and the guests don't even arrive in front of the theater, but rather through a back alley. Even further, he says Trump only appeared on the show once in 2007 before announcing his campaign. I have a new conspiracy theory for you. Remember I told you there was a big concert? It had Jon Stewart and Pete Davidson and Dave Chappelle and a bunch of other people. I'm doing it from memory. Amy Schumer is part of this thing. Sunday night, Madison Square Garden in New York City. Here's the conspiracy theory. Did the concert even happen? Pause the podcast and go on the internet. Find any evidence that this concert took place. Now, I'm not saying anything nefarious is going down. I'm not saying anything. I just find it fascinating that there's zero on the internet about it. If you Google it, it'll be like, oh yeah, there's going to be a concert on 9/12, but I can't find out anything about the concert. I want to tell you what happened at the concert. Did anyone go to this? Is this the Bob's Burgers of comedy concerts? Seriously, pause the podcast, Google it, and come back. Are you back? Now, what probably came up was this story about Pete Davidson. Pete Davidson was out and about this week. Nothing about the concert. He was at the Met Gala. This is this thing in New York City I don't understand where famous people get dressed and come out and it ties up my Twitter feed on a particular night. So the Met Gala happened. Pete Davidson showed up in a black dress. He was the guest of fashion designer Tom Brown. So it made sense to show up in one of Brown's creations, says the Mirror. Pete Davidson wore a Tom Brown black midi dress with a white overcoat, sparkly necklaces, sunglasses, and matching black and white combat boots. Pete Davidson told reporters on the red carpet his inspiration for the outfit was a slutty nun. Ahead of the event, Pete Davidson had told GQ, when I was first told I would have the opportunity to attend, I thought it was a joke, but he revealed there was a practical reason that he said yes to the dress. Pete said, I'm excited for how easy it is to pee. You can literally just lift it up. If you're going to wear a dress, what better way or place to do it than the Met Gala, you know? I'm really excited and really stoked that they thought I could pull this off, which is hilarious. This next story I have covered on the podcast already, but it is quite bubbling up. I see it making national news now. Let's do the Vanity Fair version of the story, which asks, is a comedy show worth dying for? Patton Oswalt and Jim Brewer have different answers. As the Delta variant rages on, comedians are taking hard stances on vaccine mandates in opposite directions. This week alone, Patton Oswalt and Jim Brewer took opposite stances when it came to proof of vaccination at their shows. Over the weekend, Brewer stated on Facebook Live that he would not perform at venues in New Jersey and Michigan where vaccine mandates are enforced. I am absolutely not doing those shows, Brewer said, claiming he'd rather go bankrupt, make a stance, and not segregate his audience. Oswalt, on the other hand, canceled upcoming tour dates in Florida and Salt Lake City because the venues would not require attendees to provide proof of vaccination. Patton Oswalt explained to his fans on Instagram, this difficult decision was made due to the rising numbers of COVID cases and also because I have an ego, but my ego is not big enough to think that people should die to hear my stupid comedy. He went on The Tonight Show and said, you shouldn't die for any entertainer, but if you are, make it count. Don't be in the hospital going, I'm so glad I got to see that fat nerd whine about The Mandalorian. Doug Stanhope jumped in on Twitter. Two tweets. In the first one, he said, I'm canceling all dates at venues that require you to be 21 to drink alcohol in a country that recruits you to die in wars at 18. Want to keep going? And in a second tweet, Doug Stanhope tweeted, I will absolutely take Jim Brewer's canceled dates at the Royal Oak Music venue. Seriously, I don't have any opinion, vax cards and all that hullabaloo. This is just about blatant opportunism, and I happen to be open. Please reach out to his contact to square up the deets. Tim Dillon tweeted, I also think comics canceling dates in states that don't require vax are silly, or states that put restrictions on abortions. Austin 360 has a nice, useful article. It is titled, What You Need to Know About Moon Tower Comedy Festival 2021 in Austin. Pretty good. Subheadline: Big J Okerson will perform for the Moon Tower Comedy Festival this year. Moon Tower, September 22nd through the 25th. Here's what you need to know, writes Austin 360. Who's headlining Moon Tower Comedy Festival? September 22nd, Aida Rodriguez, a live podcast taping of Your Mom's House, and Sam Morrill. On the 23rd, Leanne Morgan, Dave Attell, Maria Bamford. That's awesome. On the 24th, Maria Bamford, Margaret Cho, Brad Williams, Sam Morrill, and Bob the Drag Queen. On the 25th, Dudley and Bob with Matt Sideshow, Girls Gotta Eat, Dan Soder, Jackie Novak's Get on Your Knees, and Please Don't Destroy. How do I get a badge for Moon Tower Comedy Festival? The answer: badges are available in four tiers. Wait till you hear these tiers: Satellite, Warrior, Nexus, and Star, ranging in price from $99, okay, to $1,000, what? With varying levels of access to shows and festival amenities. For $1,000, I want lots of amenities. I like comedy and all, but $1,000? Yeah? Single tickets are also available for some headliner and satellite shows. Jim Brewer might ask, what are the safety protocols for the Moon Tower Comedy Festival? Well, Jim, Austin is still under Stage 5 coronavirus risk-based guidelines. All festival attendees must show either proof of full COVID-19 vaccination or a negative test result taken within 48 hours of the event. Proof of vaccination will be matched with ID, and attendees can either show a physical card, a photo of their card, or proof through a verified app like Clear Health Pass or Bindle. My inner Jim Brewer monologue is saying, I'm not doing that show. Masks will be mandatory for patrons inside all venues. We're not eating or drinking when seated. Masks. Ugh. I really like the person who wrote the Austin 360 article about Moon Tower. I don't know who you are, but you did a good job. The next question is, who else should I see at Moon Tower Comedy Festival? Writer says, glad you asked. Margaret Cho, Jackie Novak, and Bob the Drag Queen are our top headliners to check out. Johnny Mac is going to say hard no on that. Hard no. Johnny Mac says, if you were there, I'm scrolling back up to look at the list. Go see Sam Morrill, Dave Attell. Whatever you do, see Dave Attell, Brad Williams, and Dan Soder. That's my list, okay? Sam Morrill, Attell, Brad Williams, Dan Soder. I see the writer and I have a different taste in comedy. James Adomian, he did that great Trump versus Bernie album. He's also at this festival. Jessica Kirsten, Doug Loves Movies podcast with Doug Benson. Pretty cool. How do I find the full Moon Tower Comedy Festival schedule? Austin Theatre, spelled with the British T-R-E at the end, austintheatre.org. Or, you know, Google Moon Tower Comedy Festival. It's 2021, folks. You should be able to figure this stuff out. From the AV Club, BJ Novak's new Hulu project, The Premise. It's on tonight. The AV Club says, The Premise does not couch its observations about modern life in metaphors and fantasies. Each of The Premise's five episodes are contemporary dramedies confronting timely topics like corrupt policing, gun rights, bullying, celebrity worship, wokeness, and internet trolling. But, there's always a but, right? But, it's also wildly inconsistent, with the episode quality ranging from better than the pilot would suggest to soul-crushingly shoddy. Ouch. Of those first five episodes, the two that are the most overtly comedic, Social Justice Sex Tape and The Ballad of Jesse Wheeler, are near total disasters. Yikes, overly blunt and painfully unfunny. This is BJ Novak, who is involved with most of the great episodes of The Office. This is painful. The two that function more like genre exercises, the episode Moment of Silence and the unfortunately named Butt Plug, are surprisingly effective edge-of-the-seat tales of suspense. And then the other episode, The Commenter, falls somewhere in between with a sketchy story that gets more tense as it goes along, which never overcomes the paltriness of the original idea. Ouch. I mentioned the Queen at the top. Yeah, well, Rudy mentioned the Queen. I'm going to mention the Queen again. Palace Intrigue, 5 minutes a day about the royal family. You like the gossip. I'm about to gossip about John Mulaney. Don't act like you don't like the gossip. I see the download numbers. I see them, guys. John Mulaney moves the downloads. So, let's gossip about Kate Middleton. Let's gossip about Meghan Markle. It's fun. Come on, admit it, it's fun. Palace Intrigue, 5 minutes a day about the royal family, where we get your podcast. From Fox News, John Mulaney's ex-wife, Anna Marie Tendler, is exhibiting new artwork in Los Angeles. Her show, Rooms in the First House, seems to reveal her state of mind after their split. The series is described on her website as a portrait project exploring the multitudinous versions of self confined within one body. Multitudinous? Yeah. A bio for Tindler provided by the fair states she works out of her home in Connecticut and says it's her largest artistic endeavor to date. One haunting image is titled Dinner in March. It shows Tindler dressed in a white gown looking longingly across a candlelit table at an empty chair with food placed at the table untouched. Another image shows her sitting alone on the edge of a bed, gazing into the distance. My podcast just took an awkward turn. Why don't you pre-read the articles, Johnny Mac? We're in a dark place now. Oh, my. Tindler has been posting additional images on her Instagram and her site. One of those images, a room that once was, shows her curled on the floor with her head on a chair in an otherwise empty room. Another portrait shows her upside down on the stairs looking at her phone with an Instagram caption that reads, God, it's brutal out here. Oh my goodness, Johnny Mac, pre-read these things. Another image shows her standing in her underwear in a darkened room with her head in her hands. Social media followers have been supporting Tindler's new show with one commenter online saying, the female army standing behind Anna. Another fan added, ladies, let's sell this out. Whew, awkward segue. Hey, from Variety, Mac Packer Keegan-Michael Key has been cast in Wonka. If you're not familiar with the Mac Pack, these are my celebrity man crushes. Michael Chiklis, Tom Cavanaugh from The Flash, Keegan-Michael Key. Thinking about adding Andy Samberg to it. Not sure yet about Andy. He might. Pretty sure I have a man crush on Andy Samberg. I'll let you know. But Keegan-Michael Key, known man crush, he's in the Mac Pack. He's going to be cast in Wonka, a musical based on the early life of Willy Wonka. He'll star alongside Timothy Chalamet, who will play Willy Wonka. Variety says plot details as well as Key's role have been kept under wraps. Wonka serves as a prequel to Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and will explore the upbringing of the man who later created the famous Temple of Confectionery Treats. Why are we making this? I don't know. But Keegan-Michael Key's in it. It'll be in theaters March 17th, 2023. That's a year and a half from now. Let me know how it goes. And that is your comedy news for today. If you listen to the All Pro Lines podcast, which you should, I really like it, for reals, like Football Plus Comedy, Kostaki and Aaron, they're funny. Kostaki Economopoulos pointed out, I claim the show's 10 minutes long and I can't ever keep it to 10 minutes. Busted. That's your comedy news for today. Follow the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Instagram, @Daily Comedy News. More Mulaney gossip tomorrow. You know you like it. See ya.